My name is Jeff Archie. Today we wish to spend a few moments and study a wonderful book of the New Testament called the Book of Jude. It is the next to last book in the Bible. Reading from the Book of Jude. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you in peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Verse 9, Book of Jude. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, for what they know naturally is brute beast, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them! For they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about with winds, trees whose fruit withered, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and all of their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouths speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some, have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Thus the reading of the Book of Jude, and may the Lord bless us in the reading of His Word. It is a joy today for us simply to take a book of the Bible and spend time in study. And as you have opened your Bibles to the Book of Jude, as we have read the Scripture, I'd like for you to look at that book with me as we spend a few moments studying this wonderful book. I like to call these type books no chapters, no worries. The Book of Jude, 2nd and 3rd John, also the Book of Philemon, and in the Old Testament, the Book of Obadiah, we have books that really do not have chapters. They're just a single book. And for you and I to spend time in study of these books is a great joy. I have often wondered why these books are not studied as much as should be, because they are as inspired of Scripture as any other book in the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. A lot of times we think because of the brevity of a book, there's not a lot there to talk about. But that's not the case with the book of Jude. Oh, what a wonderful book. Now, please understand, dear listener, that this book is written to what we would say New Testament Christians. It is written to Christians who obeyed the gospel. Christians, members of the church we read of in the New Testament. And they simply heard the gospel message as commanded that our Lord said would be preached, beginning in Jerusalem, Luke 24:44-47. They believed that gospel as everyone should believe the gospel, Mark 16:15-16. And then, from believing the gospel, they repented of their sins. That's what Peter told them to do in Acts 2:38, based upon the commandment of Jesus in Matthew 10:32-33. And then they confessed Jesus as the Son of God. The eunuch did that in Acts 8:37. And they confessed with their mouth unto salvation, Romans 10:9-10. And then they were baptized people. We know they were because the Bible teaches the commandment of baptism by our Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 16:15-16. The commandment of Peter, who spoke as the Lord, as the Holy Spirit rather, guided him, John 16:13. He said in Acts 2:38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you'll see receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Ananias told Paul, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." We know baptism, according to Peter in 1 Peter 3:21, doth now also save us. It's not because of the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but have the answer of a good conscience toward God. Yes, my friends, individuals that received this letter, the book of Jude, individuals that received this were simply baptized believers in Christ. And we would make that plea for you to do those very things today, my friend. So as this book is written to Christians, let's see the beautiful characteristic of Christians as we spend time in the book of Jude. First of all, we understand that he tells them that they are sanctified, preserved, and called in verse 1. The idea of being sanctified, we know from Hebrews 10:10, that one is sanctified through the giving of Jesus Christ. We also know from John 17:17, Jesus in his prayer to the Father said, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth." Bring in the context of John 17:17-19 to see, yes, truth can sanctify us. Sanctified people also are ready to teach others the truth. In 2 Timothy 2:15, we see that we are to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Peter in 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give every man an answer of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." In 2 Timothy 2:21, we find we are the individuals as Christians who are sanctified and meet for the Master's use and prepared unto every good work. So indeed, the word sanctify means we are set apart people. We are to be set apart for the cause of Christ. We're also called preserved people. Paul made this same plea to the church at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. To keep souls as God would have them, or in other words, to be set in place. I love good homemade preserves. What do? Well, you mix it together and then you set the preserves in place. They stay preserved and fresh, no matter how long it might be. But notice also Jude called them called people. Now this doesn't mean that there's a calling of a voice, a mysterious voice that might come, but rather they are called people who are called by the gospel of Christ, 2 Thessalonians 2:14. When a person hears the gospel plea, it calls them to respond. That gospel plea is the power of God unto salvation, Romans 1:16. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4 tells us the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the like figure of Romans 6:1-6, whereunto baptism brings us and raises us to walk in newness of life. When we think of Romans 6:3-6, Paul says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death?" Paul was baptized into His death. How do we know that? Acts 22:16. And we also know from Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, "Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should be made to walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, so shall we be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man of sin is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." Baptism destroys sin, cleanses us from it. And to be called also means we are now set for use. Now get this. The sanctified, the preserved, the called. We are set apart, we are set in place, and we are set for use. Christians are set apart from the world, set in place, redeemed, and set for use to get going, and as diligent as we lived in the world, we are as diligent now in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. You see the beauty of becoming a Christian, my friend? You see the beauty of walking according to what the Bible says and not according to a denominational body, a man-made synod, a general assembly, or anything of that nature? And now, friends, let's also consider the themes of the book. If we are to be set apart, set in place, and set for use, then first of all, my friends, we should be set to contend for the faith. Verse 3 reminds us that we are to contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. There is but one faith, my friend. Today we talk about, what faith are you? Or there are many faiths in the world, and there may be. But God only intended for us to be obedient to one faith. Acts 6 and verse 7. They were obedient to the faith. Galatians 1:23, the faith, the gospel was preached. And we also understand in Ephesians 4:4-6, one faith. Now Jude explicitly affirms that the gospel system called the faith, and again we go back to Galatians 1:23, and we'll also mention 1 Timothy 5:8, was once for all delivered unto the saints. J.H. Thayer, in his Greek-English lexicon of the New Testament, adds, "The expression once for all translates the Greek term hapax, which means once for all time. It is used of what is so done as to be of perpetual validity and never need repetition." And that's Mr. Thayer, page 54. There is no need, dear listener, therefore, for an ongoing direct communication from God. God has stated in His Word what He wants us to know. Peter said in 2 Peter 1:3 that God has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. There is not another revelation. God's Word is sufficient. The late Guy in Woods said that it is a permanent deposit and it will never be superseded, amended, or modified. It is the faith. When we abound in the faith, my friends, consider the following. It confirms our souls, Acts 14:22. It increases the number of disciples, Acts 16:5. It gives us a place wherein to stand, 1 Corinthians 16:13. It grants us direction, Galatians 2:20. It keeps us thankful, Colossians 2:7. And it keeps us contending for it, Jude verse 3. Yes, my dear friends, we can be said to contend for the faith as Jude 3 affirms, to contend and to battle for the faith once for all delivered. We want you to be a sanctified, preserved, and called individual, that we may be set apart, set in place, and set for use.